Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Unhinged. I am your host, Teresa Romer, and today we have the pleasure of meeting Meredith Jerica, if I said that right.
Yes, you did.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello.
Yes. Her claim to fame is quite unusual.
Yes.
But you know what? She's a powerful, powerful boss babe, and that's what we love. And we love stories where people come from the dark shadows of destruction, and they rise above, and they shine brighter than ever. And that's what we love about this show, is we get to uncover all of that and find the gems out there that people don't really know about sometimes. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Okay. Well, hi, I'm Meredith Jerica. I'm a mom. I have two girls and a stepson and a stepdaughter. I grew up in Corpus Christi. I was a speech pathologist in Conroe, Texas for 10 years before I started what we call the bag thing, which was about 7.5 years ago.
Did you ever get called the bag lady?
Yes. I've been stopped in the Kroger and said, wait, are you the makeup junkie girl? And I'm like, oh my God, you know who I am?
Right.
So those little moments. But yeah, I worked for the schools for 10 years. I made a flat packing leak resistant bag for my own toiletries and eyeshadow palettes and brushes, you know. Those larger cosmetic items were hard to store. It's like the old days, a lipstick and a compact, those bags don't cut it anymore. We have arts and palettes now, and you know, today's mom glam, but when I'm full glam, I need, you know, a bigger bag. So I just made it for myself, thinking nothing of it. Took it on a girls trip, and my friends were like, where did you get that bag? And I was like, I made it from Hobby Lobby fabric. Year and a half later, I'm on Shark Tank doing $5 million a year in sales, and it just was a whirlwind.
So how did you know where to find the leak proof waterproof resistant material?
So I had just purchased a raincoat material from Hobby Lobby Conroe, and I thought that way I can clean it up if my palettes bust or my shampoo leaks.
Right.
And so on the exterior, I put just anything that looked pretty and looked like it would be durable. So I purchased fabric from Hobby Lobby my first 6 months in business before I learned what buying in bulk was. I had no business background, no manufacturing. I was just a girl who made a cool bag in my house that everybody wanted. I put a picture on Facebook, and within the first month, I got 700 orders just via Facebook
Messenger. Good Lord.
Yes, I had a house in Willis, Texas. And they
now, isn't it funny? You know, I'm an Instagram girl, and so I hardly do anything on Facebook. It's like more of a little, stay in connection with some family members or some friends or whatever. But it's interesting how Facebook is such a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Like so many companies, like they become so strong and powerful from Facebook.
They do, very much. I think, especially that I made a free Facebook page. My initials were MJ, so I was like, oh, the makeup junkie bag. You know, now we know it's just a cool travel bag. It's not just for makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, to this day, I'm still like, what just happened? I mean, we've sold almost 1 million makeup junkie bags. That's how many people, I tell my mom all the time, Mom, that's how many people are using these bags when they travel.
Right.
And that is just hard to grasp sometimes when you are just a regular person who just had an idea to help yourself solve your own problem.
Right, yeah. Right. And what made you come up with the idea of a flat case versus a square or anything?
I liked that if I put the zipper down the middle, I had a lot of brushes and a lot of pencils and things in my cosmetic collection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a true makeup junkie. I mean, like I said, today's mom glam, but I go full glam, I go, you know, low-key.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the palettes and things like that. So the idea of an old-school pencil pouch, kind of, where you could zip it down the middle and get all of your utensils when you were in school.
Wow, that's old school.
Yeah, that's what
pencil
came
pouch.
To me. So as you can see, it's very, very liking to that, and it just worked so well. I had made, this is the large size, but I had made a medium one for my like Urban Decay eyeshadow palette specifically and my brushes. And then I was like, oh, I need what? Have you ever tried to pack hairspray? Like a big can of hair?
I never have ever packed hairspray. Like my hairspray is like big, and it's the last thing to go in the suitcase, and it's always in the checked. You know, because you can't carry it like
the lid comes off and the aerosol comes out.
Oh, yeah. And then there's usually a mess, you know. But I'm like, oh, and then I throw it away when I get to my destination, and then I have to buy a new hairspray.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm one of those people that normally has the hairspray left behind or I don't travel with it and I just buy it when I get there.
Because you're like, it's, just forget
yeah.
it.
And I can't believe there's a can of hairspray in there.
Yeah, we have a large bag sitting here, and I pulled the biggest can of Big Sexy Hair hairspray out of there. I was like, can you believe this is in here? So they're just functional.
Mm-hmm. Very. Like, very. I mean, like, so functional that when we unzipped it, I was like, good God, what is all of this in here? Yes. Like, that's just a ton. Yeah.
Yes, it's one of those products, if you look at it, it's like, that flat bag, I have no clue what that is or why people love it so much. And then you use it one time. That's one of kind of our marketing angles is use it one time. I guarantee you, you'll be back for more. And not just as a gimmick, but as a true factual testimony that many people have. They love them. We have collectors of them. We have women that have over 1,000 in their collection. It's pretty cool. A little community we've built.
Good Lord.
And they hold so much. We were actually one of my first, the first time someone noticed me was a writer for USA Today bought one on my website. My first year in business, I was just selling on Facebook, and then I used my profits to have a website built, still working out of my home in my kitchen.
Right.
And she used one, and her shampoo busted, and she contacted us, and she was like, my whole suitcase was dry. Like, this is amazing. So she put me in USA Today's top 10 travel bags when I was just still a year in business out of my home.
Yeah.
And for high storage capacity, leak resistance, and taking up lease space in a suitcase. So... yeah.
Wow.
Then we started growing from there.
So everybody's got a backstory. So what makes your backstory so unique?
I think, especially on a podcast like yours, the term perseverance comes up a lot.
Right.
And I think a lot of people who want to own a business or do own a business are faced with hardship, adversity, hurdles, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I have realized today in my life that I have moved mountains. I've fought dragons. I have busted through walls. And sometimes when you're in the middle of those times, you don't realize what you're doing and how strong you are. And then the sun comes out and it's all over. And you're like, holy crap, I survived.
Well, most people don't realize that life isn't all about always being on top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you got to go in those dark, deep valleys. And then when you do get on that mountaintop, you're like, wow, look what I just went through.
Yeah,
I'm stronger than I ever knew.
It gives you gratitude, gives you appreciation for things you didn't appreciate before. Mm-hmm. I feel like a different person than I was even 7-8 years ago, just because of the things that have happened the last several years, good and bad. You know?
So right when you were like popping and becoming famous and doing so well, you had something horrible happen.
Yeah, I had a very 2019 to 2020 was a trying time for a lot of people in the world. At that time, I also... my husband at the time and I went through a divorce, and in the state of Texas, of course, you have to divide assets equitably. So despite having...
payday for him, right?
No shade, obviously, but he lives a very comfortable life, and I didn't want to give up any portion of my company. So, when you put cherries in a bucket, when you're dividing assets, I had to put cherries over here and over there after, they evaluate your company and see what it's worth.
Right.
And all I knew was I was a good mom. I had great friends. I had a great family. And I wanted my company because I had worked so hard.
How much behind the scenes work did he do?
He was not very involved.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of sad. I understand, give up half in the state of Texas, but it's kind of sad that your partner or your husband or wife or whatever gets half when they really didn't have a thing to do with what you did.
It was very hard. I went from, I joke like, okay guys, I was a millionaire, but definitely climbing my way back to that very quickly.
Right.
But, and then I went from that to being in a rented townhouse and I have two beautiful daughters and separation of family was best for our family.
Right.
However, it made me have to almost start from scratch.
Right.
And 6 months after that happened, the world shut down because of COVID. Mm. So our sales didn't just decline slowly. They fell off a cliff as we were a luxury item.
Right.
And I had a huge operation after Shark Tank. We were cranking them out, made in Texas. They are still made in Texas, actually. About 20 minutes from here. Hey, neighbor, sugar?
Hey.
About 20 minutes away. And then also, because I had filed for my patent, there were people seeing the success of the bag style and starting to make replicas. So we were in an infringement lawsuit as well. And I just remember those three things happened at once. And I just remember being pretty much on my knees, metaphorically.
Triple whammy.
And saying, if I survive this year, I am like a cockroach. I cannot be destroyed. So, and I did survive through a lot of tears and moments where I questioned if it would be okay.
Right.
I always say, if you have a plan B, you will have no fear. I told myself, what's the worst that's going to happen? I have my babies. I'll go get another speech pathology job like I did before this, and I'll start something new.
And I've always said that. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter how on top of the world you are. A lot of things can happen in life. And I'm one of those people that's not afraid to start over. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? If I have to go back to driving a Volkswagen Beetle and living in a 500-square-foot apartment, I can do it. I can start over, and I'll kick ass and take names and be back on top again.
Yeah. And with so much more knowledge. I mean, it's so cliche. If I had known then, would I know now? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's so true, because I would love to start over with what I know now. But yeah, and so after all of that passed and the dust settled, I had some decisions to make. I'm a debt-free company. I have no investors. So I had some decisions to make after the dust settled from those three very hard things that year. Obviously, we were still feeling the effects of COVID. I started reaching out to these online boutiques where the girls were selling the boutique items from their clothes as the brick-and-mortar stores were shut down. We saw huge success with that. We were moving several thousand makeup bags in an hour on Facebook Lives. And then I saw the break in the clouds with my business.
The sun started to peek through.
Yes, it did. And then, you know, my cash assets were gone due to, you know, me having to buy out half the company to maintain ownership.
Right.
And so I'm a debt-free company. I'm an investor-free company. I was on Shark Tank, and we did not go through with the deal. I wanted to continue manufacturing in Houston, and Lori Grenier, who was to be my Shark partner, is so fantastic. They encouraged me to get on a Shopify website that I have now, because I was on kind of a cruddy one before.
Right.
She's just so supportive and sweet. I actually went to a party in LA with her 2 years after the episode, despite not signing our contract.
So let's go back. How hard do you think it was to get on Shark Tank?
There were 40,000 applicants for my season, and about 100 of us made it to Los Angeles. So the odds are not very good if you look at the amount of applications.
Yeah.
I would say I did not expect to even get a call back. I filled out an online application. I didn't go to a casting call. I just did the ABC.com application.
Right.
And I remember just being very to the point with it. Do you have a unique item? Yes, period. And then it said, upload a video of yourself. I'd put my girls to bed, and I had my hair in a bun on the couch. And I was like, hey, Shark Tank, I'm Meredith, and this is a makeup junkie bag. And I just started shoving things in it in my admission video.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot. I was like, yeah, right, like in a million years.
Right.
Girl from living in Willis, Texas. And then 4 months later, it wasn't just me anymore. I had three or four employees by then, sweet girls that started helping me. And I got a call from Culver City, Sony Studios, and they were like, this is Shark Tank. And I was like, Jake,
no,
from State Farm, so what are you wearing, khakis? Like, yeah, right. So after 9 months of cuts and producer Zoom calls, and they don't tell you if you're going to be moved to the next round of cuts.
Right.
They're just like, thank you for that session. We'll call you if.
Yeah.
And
wink, wink.
Yes. So we had been told 8 months in that we were one of the top 1,000 contestants to maybe be pulled in. And then 6 weeks went by after my last Zoom call with the producers. You have junior producers, executive producers.
Right.
Go through
the
ladder. And I was at lunch with my management team. And that later, I had like 12 employees now, you know, so as I'm going through this long process to get on the show, we're growing. And so we were sitting at lunch, and we got a call, and they were like, can you be in LA next week? And
yeah,
I was like,
and I always love it, because they give you like such notice. Like,
and they basically say, and if you can't, we'll find somebody else. And I'm like, I will sell my children to come to LA next week. But definitely a cool thing that happened. I went there. I filmed my episode. I have a great story that goes along with that. I have so much to share with you, Teresa. It's the guacamole dress story. So went to film, and I was one of the last ones that day. And, you know, different sharks for different products.
Right.
Sports, you know, you get A-Rod, you get different things like that. And so they ran out of filming time, and I was all hair and makeup'd up.
Yeah.
My makeup lady was like, I just did Amy Poehler on a different set over there. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
Right.
And then they didn't have time to film. So they were like, Meredith, we're going to probably send you home.
Oh,
maybe next season we'll bring you back. You're so sweet.
Yeah.
And I went to the hotel bar with two other contestants that happened to as well, got wine drunk and spilled guacamole all over my Shark Tank dress, because you have to wear the outfit that they approve for you,
right.
And called my parents bawling. And then I go get in bed, and my phone keeps ringing, and I'm like, I threw my guacamole dress on the floor of the hotel after all this, because they have to go talk to your lawyer and make sure your IP is correct. They have to talk to your accountant and make sure you're not lying about your sales,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I had been through a lot.
Right.
So the producers called, and they were like, we love you. We think we have a shark later this week that you would be a good fit for. Can you stay? And I was just like, oh, my gosh, I can stay. It turned out to be Sarah Blakely from Spanx was on my.
Nice.
And she was fantastic to talk to. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, okay, great. Then I see my dress. So I washed my Shark Tank dress in the hotel bathtub with shampoo and wore it on national television. So cannot be destroyed.
Was it the next day?
I think it was 2 days later. So
we couldn't have gotten a dry clean that fast?
Wasn't thinking clearly. Yeah. So it was broke.
Just throw it in the sink, wash it.
Yeah. So, and then the rest, as they say, is history. It just snowballed after that. I met the Greeners, and I got 3 offers on the show. And Sarah Blakely said, honey, you remind me of me. If you need the money, I'll just loan it to you. Don't take a deal here.
Yeah.
And that was a really big compliment. Mark Cuban said, don't do it. Don't do it. And then Kevin and Lori made me a deal,
right.
Took Lori's deal, didn't end up closing the deal after the show, but maintained a very good relationship, and still admire her to this day.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Shark Tank, in 2015, I had a meeting with Damon John, and we were sitting in his office, and, you know, I'm sweating bullets, because, I mean, he's so cool, but he's really grilling me, right? And he looked at me at one point after looking at all my products and everything, but he looked at me and he goes, tell me what your greatest life achievement is. Oh, man, I broke out in a sweat, because I was like, okay, this could go 2 different ways. And, you know, he's looking at you. And I'm in my head, I'm like, okay, this could go 2 different ways. If I tell him my greatest life achievement is being a mom, he might look at me and go, oh, she's not even a businesswoman, you know. Yeah. Or if I tell him something about my business, he might think, oh, my gosh, she's not even, like, thinking about her kids. Like, that should, you know. So, and you got to think fast. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like rolling around going, God, how do I answer this? This is a trick question. I know it is. And I just very calmly looked at him and I said, I don't think a person should ever be judged on just having one life achievement. I said, I've had many life achievements and I plan on having a lot more.
I like that.
And he goes, that is such a good answer.
It is. You actually, I was listening to one of your podcasts the other day, and you had said that when you had sold one of your fitness companies, that your family, you know, you were like, this was my dream, and that your family had said, why can you only have one dream? Do you know what, I was already making plans the next day for my own stuff. Like, that was such an inspiring statement. Why can you only have one dream?
Well, and you know, I being raised the way I was raised, I thought, you just dream big, and that's the one dream you get. And so when I was living that dream, I was like, there's nowhere else to go. This is the best, you know. And I was living my life, my dream, you know. And when I said that to my mother said, you should be allowed to have more than one dream in life. Like, this is only one, Teresa. Go after more. And I was like, what? I can go after more?
Wait, people do that? Same.
No, I just, you know, because my whole life I had only just seen people get to a certain point, and that's where you just stayed, you know? So I thought, this is it, you know? But when she said, you're allowed to have more than one dream in life, go after as many as you want, I was like, what?
I think that's a great point that a lot of people don't think about. You know, they talk about going parallel. If you become good at one thing, don't go horizontal, go up with it. So then I looked at my fabric that I had left over from previous bag launches, and I made Fabric Chick. That's my second company.
Right.
And I LLC'd all 3 companies separately, so they were protected from each other no matter what.
Right.
And if one went under, I still had the others.
Right.
So, and then made manjunklifestyle.com its own. That's the men's version of what I do for the women's travel bags. Actually got to go to a really cool party in LA based on, because, you know, you can tell I'm a chatterbox. So there's a producer named Jennifer Klein, who I adore. And she is in LA, and she works with a lot of celebrities, and she does these parties at her home to show them, thank you for working with me.
Yep.
And she lets people give little gifts. Well, after Shark Tank, she was like, do you want to mail me a box of gifts? And I was like, oh, I can't come to the party. And she's like, no, I only have room for a few people. It's my house, is, you know,
right,
only so much square footage. She lives right on Sunset there in LA. And then one year, somebody couldn't make it. One of the vendors passed out, and she was like, do you want to come to the party?
There you go.
And here we go again. Yes, I will sell my children to come to this party. So next thing I know, I am helping J-Lo, Tyra Banks handpick their own makeup junkie bags. Met Kelsey Grammer at the men's party she had last year. And he was like, these are so cool. I can tell you what he said, but you'll have to cut it out of the podcast. He told me what he was going to put in his special treats and stuff like that. But all these things started happening because of a flat bag. And then I saw the momentum and I didn't want it to die. So I just keep shoveling coal into the engine. Like, I get that shovel, and I dig that, you know, pull that coal, and I am building a really great group of people that work with me that are helping me do that as well. So
yeah, and you remind me so much of me, because, you know, when people meet me, they're like, so what do you really do? And I'm like, how much time do you got? I wear so many hats. I do so much stuff. So I basically describe myself as a serial entrepreneur, you know, because... You know, whether it's real estate or products or filming or whatever, like I'm just like all over the place, you know. And so my best description of myself would be serial entrepreneur. And you just sound like you're cut from the same cloth.
I know. And I have 20 more ideas that we and it's funny because when I was a speech therapist, I was talking to our friend Monette over here that I'm working on my book right now. And I'm like, I have this whole mindset. Why not? Says who?
Yeah.
I could never write a book. That's for important people. Says who?
Yeah. I'm on my fourth book right now. So I'm like,
hold my box wine and watch this, you know? So, and then a chapter of my book was talking about when I was a speech pathologist. I went to work. I knew my hours. I knew my exact paycheck. I worked hard and I was good at it. And but I got my paycheck every month. How is what I'm doing now any different? I work hard. I do five different things, but I get my paycheck every month and feed my family. And
I just tell people, why should I work for you 8 hours a day when I can work for myself 16 hours a day? Mm-hmm.
And if I have to come work for you again, I will be the best employee that you have, because I believe in that too.
So if you had to leave the viewers and the listeners with one piece of advice, just one, not 10, because God knows we probably could like go another hour with more advice, but just one piece of advice to that one person that's out there trying to make it. You know, and I always say it's perseverance, dedication, commitment, because it takes all three of those. And you know, there's so many people out there that think that they can just do something overnight. And it's just, you know, I don't know if it's the Generation X or what's going on out there, you know, but everybody thinks that they got to put in this little tiny bit of work and then they're going to be famous and they're going to be rich and it's all going to work out. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. So what's your one piece of advice to that one person that's out there struggling, trying to get it together and make it work?
Definitely, just as you can't control the weather, you cannot control certain aspects of what you're trying to do or how people receive it. You can plan for the biggest launch ever and two people buy it. So I always say, if you're going to be a business owner, you have to embrace the sunscreen and the umbrella. You're going to have days that are so sunny, you are like, God, that burns.
Blinded by the light.
And then you are going to have days that are so dreary, you're going to need that umbrella. Once you accept that you're going to have both days and you're prepared for both with your metaphoric sunscreen and umbrella, it doesn't sting as bad. So accept that that's part of the journey. You're going to go through both of those, and then you just kind of roll with the highs or lows on your journey.
Yeah. Great advice. Great advice. And get thick skin. Thick skin, like an alligator.
Here, so, feel mine.
So where can everybody find you?
Okay. We are at makeupjunkiebags.com. I also have an app called MJ Bags. I've branched into purses and other women's accessories since we have such an expert sewing team. As of February 1st, you can find our custom Bucky's bags at Bucky's Travel Stop.
And for all you listeners that don't know who Bucky's is, come to Texas.
And you can also find them online. We are in an array of boutiques, gift shops, salons. They hold so many hair care products in the large size. So they travel so well that we're in a ton of salons that can be found on Google as well.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Meredith, for being our guest today and sharing your story and overcoming all the odds to be back on top again.
Yes. Thank you for having me. And I really enjoyed this very much. I love your podcast and all of the people that you interview. And I take pieces from everything I listen as an entrepreneur and do something valuable with it. So I hope that I said one thing today that would help somebody else as well to pay it forward.
Yeah. Thank you. Once again, you're listening to Unhinged with Teresa Romer.